We got a little schedule change here for you. Sean D. Tucker, who's the Young Eagles chairman, was out on a photo mission today, and they got a little delayed by the weather. So fortunately or unfortunately, fortunately for me, maybe not so much for you, but Captain Joe Kimball of the U.S. Coast Guard just happened to be here. We said, hey, what you doing for the next 10 minutes? And he was kind enough to step in and fill in for Sean. I won't ask you any questions about Young Eagles, but you are the chief of Coast Guard Aviation.
That's correct.
So you are in charge of all the flying assets for the Coast Guard. And so how many people report to you?
Well, there's about 27 air stations. We have about 200 aircraft. It's about 1,000 pilots and about 3,000 mechanics and rescue swimmers.
Okay. And they're all, you said 27, and that's coast to coast?
Hawaii, Alaska, Puerto Rico, and then around the coast.
All right.
And we fly about 115,000 flight hours a year.
My goodness. 115,000 flight hours. Uh-huh. Wow. And that's in a wide variety of aircraft, as we talked about earlier, everything from fixed wing to rotary wing.
Yep.
And that's your, you have experience in both.
I do. I started in the A-65 and flew that for about 10 years. And okay. Then I got a year in the Falcon 20 and then about 5 years in the CASA 235.
All right. With the Falcon, what kind of mission profile are you flying with that?
You're doing law enforcement. You're doing fisheries patrols. They also have a hatch underneath where they could drop out a raft or a basket.
All right. And any good memories in your logbook that you can think of? Missions that stand out?
There's lots of them.
I'm sure.
There was one rescue. It was 4th of July off Newport, Oregon, and a fisherman had fallen through the board in the engine room and hurt his ankle and pretty bad. And the weather was so bad, we shot two ILSs and nothing below 100 feet. And there was this little low-visibility route that on the 222 radial, there's a cut of trees at this airport. It's 154 feet, and you're hovering in these trees. And then you look up, and your disc's in the clouds, and your feet are above the treetops, and you got to back out again, and they go land at the parking lot. And the folks down there thought it was a Coast Guard's coming for an air show. And we had to vector in the ambulance, and the police department brought in gas. Yeah, it was pretty neat.
But that's the kind of mission you train for, and
yes,
your aviators train for, because
when
things go, things don't always go bad on a nice, sunny, calm day.
Right, exactly.
When they go bad,
right.
in a horrible way for most people. And I hate to say it, but us civilians do some pretty stupid things. I grew up on Lake Michigan, and even Lake Michigan can be not a nice place to be if you're in a small boat with swells.
Right.
And the ocean is even worse. So us civilians are out there having fun and suddenly get ourselves into positions that we shouldn't be in.
Right.
And then it's the emergency call to the Coast Guard, and you all come to the rescue.
It is. You can never stress proper equipment planning enough. Right. Proper life jackets, EPIRBs, a float plan. We rescued a crew that was trying to row across the Atlantic. They had great equipment. They were trained. One of them was an Olympic rower, and they caught a set of waves when their watertight doors were open when they were switching the crews out. It flipped over 400 miles north of Puerto Rico, and they were in the water, and they lit up their EPIRB, and they were trying to right the vessel for about an hour and a half. They said, let's just take stock of the situation, inventory our equipment. 30 minutes later, a Coast Guard plane flew over. He's like, we didn't even get to use our survival equipment, but we're always there.
And that's a good thing. That's when you're in the right place at the right time. It's just amazing that, like we were saying, you need to train for all possibilities.
Right.
And you're always out there, which we appreciate. And not just the search and rescue, as we talked with Rear Admiral Callahan, a lot of interdiction, law enforcement.
Right. Our tactical interdiction group, they shoot a 50 caliber sniper rifle out the helicopter. They're hovering at about 75 feet along a vessel that's going 60 knots trying to evade them. And I think as of this year, we've already interdicted 68 vessels with more than 11,000 pounds of illegal narcotics. And over the life of that program, it's well over $13 billion in illegal drugs removed before it hit the streets.
Excellent. Wow. Now, on a personal note, you have not been to this show before.
No, this is amazing. I'm overwhelmed. I have never even, I'd heard about it. And when I was at the air station growing up, I'm like, oh, I'll volunteer to go. And, of course, I never got the chance. And so to be here now during the centennial of Coast Guard Aviation is truly monumental and overwhelming for me.
And with that centennial, now, this is not the only spot where there's celebrations going on. What other things are planned for this year?
So we have, we did a rededication of Elmer Stone's headstone. He's Coast Guard Aviator Number 1 back on May 20th, which is the anniversary of his death day. And he was the first pilot to cross the Atlantic in the NC-4.
Oh, yes.
So we start Coast Guard Centennial with the day he showed up to flight school, which is April in 1916. And so we did that. We've done... this air show is obviously one of our Tier 1 events. We did the Centennial Paint Scheme on a bunch of aircraft. There's been 272 aviators that we've lost in Coast Guard Aviation. And you'll see there's a name written on the door of almost every Coast Guard aircraft to celebrate that person, the mission they were doing at that time. And we've got our big Centennial Roost down in Mobile, Alabama at the end of October this year. And lots of air shows celebrating Coast Guard history and aviation.
A centennial roost. You have to explain that.
The pterodactyl, it's the name they call it for his roost, but the Coast Guard Aviation Association is the ancient order of the pterodactyls, flying since the world was flat. So each year when they have their annual gathering, it's called a roost.
Aha. Now we know. The inside scoop. And you had not seen a night air show until last night.
No, that was fantastic. I never really considered mixing pyrotechnics and air show flying at night, but it worked. It was beautiful.
It's always fun to talk to someone who's never been here before. A lot of us have been around, and we've seen almost all of it, although every year something new pops up that is like, wow, I never saw that before. Like the Centennial Paint Scheme on the helicopter
the
that arrived.
The H-60, yeah.
I was like, wow, that's really cool.
It's powerful.
Yeah. So it's always fun to talk to someone who's never been here before. So have you seen much of the show? Have you had a chance to get away from the airplane or in the aircraft at all, or are you kind of
not yet.
Stuck
just going,
on the plaza?
Going around, looking at different things. Each time, there's a whole section or area that's just huge with people that are dedicated and passionate about their individual contribution to this event.
Yeah, it is. It's an amazing place.
But everybody gets inspired by something. I was Mother's Day Air Show when I was 13 years old, Fairchild Air Force Base, and I saw this H-52 helicopter come in with Coast Guard. I said, that's pretty cool. And who would have thought 15 years later I was stationed at North Bend and I was doing that hover demonstration at the very same air show.
Excellent. How many different spots have you been assigned throughout your career?
Through an aviation, 5 or 6, but the last few years I've been in this rotation between headquarters in Mobile, Alabama and Air Station Miami, but probably 6 or 7.
So if someone gets into the Coast Guard, whether it's in aviation or wherever in the service, is there a lot of movement that goes on, or do you kind of stay in one particular spot?
There is, but typically between every 2 and 4 years, depending on the tour and depending if it's in Alaska or Hawaii or Puerto Rico. But we've got some really nice places to go.
So you're at headquarters for the most part, and of course that would be your favorite spot, right?
Yeah, I love sitting behind a desk and looking out the window and see other people fly. That's just great.
But if you had your choice, where would you want to be stationed?
Miami was fantastic. I never got a chance to be stationed in Alaska or Hawaii. I was on Alaska on a patrol boat for a year and a half. The flying up there, it's beautiful and it's terrifying. But when it's beautiful, it's just, you can't compare it.
Really?
Oh.
I'd like to get up there someday.
And yeah.
Hopefully will. It's another recommendation from you, Captain Joe Kimball from the U.S. Coast Guard. He is the Chief of Coast Guard Aviation based in Washington, D.C. at headquarters. Along with being here for the Centennial, you have a special duty tonight as well, don't you?
Oh, that's right. I'll be introducing the movie The Guardian over at the big screen.
Over at the Ford Fly-In Theater, that's about 8:30 tonight?
I think so.
Okay. About the time it gets dark.
Yep.
I tell you what, we won't have a night air show tonight, so it won't interrupt your
your
film. But come and make sure you're back on Saturday, and you'll get to see it all again.
Great.
So, Captain Kimball, thank you again for filling in at the last minute. You did a great job.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it, and also appreciate you and your fellow Coast Guard members bringing your aircraft here and also serving and protecting us throughout the year. Thank
Absolutely.
You very much.
Thank you.